At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brooke.
And you're here with us on A Teachers Who Talk Crime
Podcast.
Hey, everyone.
How y'all doing?
Y'all doing great?
How is life back at school? Or how is life knowing summer is ending very soon? Very soon.
You know, I'm okay.
Are you okay?
I'm okay because technically my summer isn't ending soon.
It is by the time this comes out.
Oh, crap. Because we are like two episodes ahead, right?
Yeah.
Well, I have new teacher orientation on the 21st to the 24th, I believe. And I think we have like just teacher PDs in our building the week of the 28th. And then our first day of school, September 5th.
Yeah, you don't have much longer.
I mean, I don't. You know, tomorrow's my last tutoring session with my girl. She's so precious. I'm gonna miss her. Her mom was like, she is so excited to come to tutoring. And she does not like learning. So I was like, yeah, she said she wanted to continue tutoring with me. So like, if that's something you guys are into, you know, you have my contact information. She was like, absolutely, because she loves coming here. You're great at what you do. I was like, oh, words of affirmation.
Love it. What are you like helping her in? What grade?
She's going into fifth grade.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm tutoring her because she has an IEP. So her IEP has, some of them have summer tutoring goals.
Oh, so nice. The goal, I wish ours did that.
Yeah, it's super dope. But, like, it has to be discussed first. So I tutored a total of 3 kids this summer. Oh. I got done with my other 2 kids on Monday, and I'm finishing up my sessions with her. So we have our last session tomorrow, and I told her we were going to have fun tomorrow because, granted, we have fun every day at tutoring, but I told her we were going to do, like, a scavenger hunt in the library. So after we're done recording, I have to figure out the scavenger hunt and get it together. So once I get in there, I could just put the things where it needs to go, have the list, and we go crazy.
I love that. That's so cute.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be good. It's going to be a good time. Yeah.
Well, nice. So yeah, let us know, like, if you're excited to get back into a routine, if you're already back in a routine, if you are dreading the mere thought of waking up at the crack butt of dawn again. Mm-hmm. So I'm on a routine again. Haven't quite got back in the gym routine. I have gone.
You went on like Monday, didn't you?
I did. I have gone. And then on Tuesday, I had some very weird chest pains, not anxiety, like literally chest pains. Like felt I was going to have a heart attack, but like it was weird because I know anxiety chest pains. I get those all the time. This was like completely different. Mm. And then today there was a teacher that wanted to vent, and who am I to be like, gotta go to the gym, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I sat with her for a little while and let her vent. She's was asking me just about like how to approach different things, you know, to get through the year. Told her what I do and what she could maybe do. Mm-hmm. But I sat there and talked to her, and then I left and I wouldn't make it in time. And I'm just not one of those people that like, I know that my gym owner doesn't care when people roll in late, but like I might be a few minutes late, like 1, 2, 3 minutes late. But if I know I'm about to be 10 minutes late, I'm just not going to go.
And then you miss the whole beginning part.
Right. And then you don't get a good stretch. Then you got to jump right in. And I got to change because I'm in my teacher clothes. So I just decided to come home and eat a snack and edit our podcast.
Okay. Shout out to Brooke for editing the podcast. You know, it's been really great passing off that responsibility for a little bit. I have to tell you, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You know, I'm... definitely less, what's the word? I don't want to say stressed, but less preoccupied all the time, you know? So,
well, it has definitely opened up the gates, because if you haven't noticed by the title, it's given Ashley more time to bring us our first two-parter.
I know. I was researching today, yesterday and today, and I was like, this is going on really long. And I didn't even like get into the thick of it. And I was like, okay, we're going to have to cut this. Oh my gosh, it's a two-parter.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to bring it, because it's crazy, because it is like a pretty recent case, but there's so much information, like so much. So I think it's gonna be pretty dope.
Good deal.
Pretty dope. Pretty
dope. So excited, guys. Are y'all so ready for like our first two-parter?
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy.
This is gonna be get wild.
Crazy, get loud.
Yeah.
I was talking to my sister, and she's like, you guys haven't mentioned your merch in a long time, so should we give them an update on that?
Absolutely. Okay, so we are getting close to where we said we were going to do our seasons by school years, right?
Yep.
So you guys know season 3 is approaching.
It sure is.
Yes. With that, we are going to have some new merch. Ashley's worked on some designs. Mary's working on some stuff. We're going to go ahead and try to get off of Threadless. We're going to stay on it until we have every kink worked out. But our goal is to get off of Threadless and get into Instagram, where you can purchase through Instagram. That's so much easier. You know, everybody loves a little quick little boop boop swipe up, you know, a little swipe up action.
Yeah.
So we're super excited. It's more us. It's not as generic. And it's just like we're getting into like who we are, I guess, and like what we're about.
And then Mary will build her craft, because she is child a jack of all trades, man. Shout out to Mary. I texted her a couple days ago just to check in with her, and we were just chatting it up, and I was like, girl, girl.
Yes. So if you don't know, I am going to shout her out and advertise for her. If you are in like the Alabama region, obviously she's doing the Royal Icing Cookies and she does cakes. If you are not in the Alabama area and you're in another state, the only thing she can really offer you is her butcher paper signs. If you haven't seen those signs, like, she freehands all of that.
They're so cute.
Yes, and they're like all the rage right now. If you put a balloon arch next to a butcher paper sign, it's the cutest little photo op. So if you want to see some butcher paper signs that she has done, I'll make sure those get posted to the story with this episode. And you guys can just let me know. Those can be shipped like throughout the United States. So if you would like some of that, she's made me 3 already. She's done several for birthday parties. She has 2 parties coming up that she's doing. They're just really cute. They just give a little extra pop, you know?
Okay. Does she have a name for her, like, thing yet?
Lucy's Content Creation.
Who Lucy?
Casey.
Her middle name?
No. But Casey had this doll when she was a baby, and she called the doll Lucy, and it was one of her first words. So then Mary just started calling Casey Lucy. It gets a little confusing.
I was like, is this a whole Brooke, like, you know, Kelly thing going on?
Yeah, it's a little weird. So now we just call her Lucy. So at the wedding, when my niece met James's nephews, I guess they only heard us calling her Lucy. So now they'll, like, FaceTime her and they call her Lucy.
I'm cracking up.
They don't even
know. Okay.
It's Lucy Content Creation. She has a little Facebook page if you want to go check it out. We don't have an Instagram yet. Well, she doesn't have an Instagram yet. But working on it. So, yeah, shout out to her.
Okay.
Yep. But do you want to get into it?
Episode what? 20. I'm tripping. What is episode 90?
90.
Wow. 10 episodes till episode 100.
I know.
Well, 9.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Then we got part 2.
Yeah. I'm just curious, like, what do y'all think we should do for 100? Because my friend was like, y'all should have, like, a party. And I'm like, Yeah, I feel that. I definitely do. But where mm-hmm. would we have the party? Who would we invite?
Exactly.
Like, you know, well, I could count my friends on two hands. I sure could.
Actually, okay. We'll be together the weekend of our 100th.
Will we?
Yes. That's the baseball sure? game.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Wait. I lied.
I was about to say, that's like 2 weeks away or something like that.
89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. Oh, we will. We'll be at Oktoberfest.
Oh, shucks.
Yes.
Okay, so maybe we have a meet and greet at Oktoberfest. We got to hurry up and get that on the books, man. We got to like...
Yes, we were supposed to book this week. So we'll actually be together for our 100th. We can...
But like for... Like it'll probably be recorded already, no?
Yes, it'll be recorded.
Okay, but we can still do some.
Yeah.
So if y'all trying to go to Oktoberfest and meet us,
let us know. I'll get you the information.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we sure will do that. But yeah, we could jump into the Estudiante Estrella.
Okay, so our star student today is Pierce Teach.
Okay.
And the title is Please, Please, Please Tell Me How. Dot, dot, dot.
Tell me how. You guys are so amazing.
I don't know what it says, but it says, tell me how, da, da, da. And okay. It's a 5-star review. Yes. And Pierce Teach said, howdy. I love it.
Hey.
Howdy. First off, thank you for creating work for me over the summer. Because of this podcast, I had to write up a very detailed email asking if we could introduce this teacher compliment book. I listen to many podcasts and never have I had them inspire me to action. Thank you for sharing what you learned. You both are fabulous. And by the way, I love the banter. Teachers talk. That's what we do. Be a duck.
Okay.
Yo, she even listened to the submersible episode.
Yeah, I think it's really weak how you call it that.
I'm just saying. And if you don't know about the compliment book, you need to know about the compliment book.
Yeah, so go listen to our latest Teacher Chats episode.
Teacher Chat Volume 4.
You know, yeah. Just warning, we do sound like we are in a tin can.
We do.
So we're trying mm-hmm. to get better again.
We do.
In the yep. words of Hannah Montana, nobody's perfect. I got to work it. So.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Pierce Teach, I thank you so much for your review. This gold star's for you. Bang.
Perfect.
Thank you so much.
Love it. All right, guys. We're going to get into part one of episode 90. Ashley, are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Sit down, shut up. Part one is about to begin.
Ahora. Trigger warnings for this episode are murder of a child and mention of assault on a child.
Ew, already disgusting. Don't like it.
Mm-hmm. So when I was looking for a case to cover on today's episode, I stumbled upon it and instantly knew that I had to do this case. I've never heard of this case before. I found it, which means a lot of you have probably never heard of the case. And we know how much y'all like hearing about cases that aren't normally covered on other crime podcasts. So here we are today. And like we talked about a little bit ago, I have to say today's lesson is a first on Teachers Talk Crime. Okay, whoop, for a number whoop. Of reasons. First off, I have personally never heard of what is going to happen in this case happened. And the fact that it literally happened absolutely frightens me and has me worried about the future of the world. Because why? Why would anyone ever do something like that?
Oh, is this going to unlock a new fear for all of us?
Yeah, I would say so, 100%.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I get new fears locked every day just on TikTok, scrolling.
Exactly what I was going to say. Did you see the one where the man got caught on the Ring camera because the snake was at the top of his door and it just, pop, it bit him on his head? And then he fell off the porch?
Ooh, I think I did see that one.
Yup. new fear unlocked.
I mean, granted, I have bird nests outside my apartment, and they're always swooping down. Yeah, but still, they swoop in, and there's little eggs in the nest and little babies, and you know they're protective. Look, I pay rent. You don't. You gotta go.
Yeah,
you gotta go. And this will also be a first for Teachers Talk Crime because it is our first two-part episode.
Ooh, what? Ooh, ah.
And we definitely told y'all we would try and bring you a two-parter this summer, and it is finally here. And honestly, when I first started researching this case, I had no idea it was going to be a two-parter until I was researching and researching and researching. And I knew I just had to break it up or this episode would be very, very long.
It would be a Jasmine Richardson case all over again.
Oh my gosh, that episode was long. That could have been a two-parter, 100%.
We were starving. We were so hungry. But we had to finish it.
Sure did. But now we know we can break things up. So with that being said, I'm going to jump right into it. Today's lesson begins on July 31st, 2021 in Bridge End, South Wales. So before I continue, shout out to our 0.5% listeners from the UK because we love you.
0.5? Yes. Okay. That's like,
if you round it up, it's 1%, baby.
Well, exactly. Depends on what your teacher taught you about the five rule.
Five or more, up the score. Come on now.
Oh, really?
Four or less, let it rest. Come on now. Stop playing with me. Okay. I know a little something about mathematics.
All right. Okay. All right. I'm here for it.
So if you happen to be a listener from the UK, drop the union flag in the comments for the post for this episode because we love y'all.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, it's yes. Yes, it's yes. Y'all, you just gotta watch TikTok.
Oh, that sent me. Oh my gosh. Let me get myself together. On this day at around 5:45 a.m., 31-year-old Ang Harrod Williamson called 999, which is the equivalent of 911 in the U.S., to report that her 5-year-old son, Logan Mwangi, was missing. I'm going to play a portion of that 911 call for you all now.
Please help me.
Where are you?
My son's not here. My boy Corinne's not here. Take a breath
because I can't understand you crying. Where are you?
Five. Lower Lambton Freddy's son.
Lower what, sorry?
Lower Lambton Freddy's son. Send somebody is not here. Okay.
Who's not there?
My son, he's five. He's not here.
Okay, take a breath. When did you see him last?
I don't even remember last night and I've just got up for my son and he's the other one's not here. Logan!
Take a breath. He's five and he's gone. Can you see any
of the children? Logan!
I need you to speak to me, not just shout. I know it's really full on and it's really scary. What's his name? Is his name Logan?
Logan Williamson, please.
And he's five. Is he five, did you say?
He's five, please.
Okay. Tell me what he looks like, please.
He's a little mixed race boy. He's just got his spidey pajamas on. Where are his shoes?
Okay, is anybody else there with you? Any other adults?
Yeah, my partner. He's looking out.
Right. Are any of the doors or windows open?
Doors, windows, what's open? Someone tell me what.
Take a breath. I know that this is terrifying. Right now I need to try to breathe so I can get the information I need.
My back gate is open.
Okay, back gate, where does the back gate lead to?
I don't know what the road's called.
That's fine. It leads onto a road as opposed to a field or anything like that, does it? Okay.
I'm running up it now. It's concrete. Okay.
What's your name?
You can't look at him now.
What's your name? I need to know your name a second.
Ang Harrod.
Okay, Ang Harrod. I really need you to just take a breath for a second, okay? Because you're starting to hyperventilate. I know that this is very, very scary. I need you to stay in the house. So who's run out after Logan?
My partner.
Your partner has. Okay. So Dad's gone out looking, yeah? What's Dad's name?
John Cole. He's stepdad, but virtually Dad.
Brooke, what are your thoughts?
That was heart-wrenching. Mm-hmm. Like, Oh my gosh. Like, please do not tell me to take deep breaths, ma'am. Like, just, and I know that's their job and mm-hmm. like that is what they're trained to say yeah. and do, but that, honestly, I'm very impressed with that 911 operator, because they're like, I know this is terrifying, but you're going to hyperventilate. You've got to breathe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I would notice a back gate being open. I would start to question myself. I'd be like, what, did I leave that back gate open?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. You know, I do. There's a stepdad. She called it the partner. She mentioned fiance at one point, trying to pick up on little things, but
mm-hmm.
the fear and the anxiety in her voice, it was just so evident.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. According to one source, a number of police officers arrived at Angharad's residence within minutes, and the search for Logan began. Police Constable, or I'm going to say PC moving forward, Lauren Keene was one of the officers whose job was specifically to search for him, and she began looking for him at around 5:55 a.m. PC Keene and Special Constable SC Peter Freeth were searching a hedge when they saw what appeared to be a body of a child in the River Ogmore. PC Keene immediately sprung to action and jumped in the river to retrieve him, but not before activating her body cam. Here's PC Keene's recount of the discovery. Logan was laying on his right side in an open fetal position. He was submerged under the water. I went into the water, took 3 strides to get to where he was, and picked Logan up in my arms and took him to where SC Freeth was. I wasn't able to see his face initially until I picked him up. I could see he had an injury to the left side of his face. His eyes were open. His body was stiff. His lips were blue. Immediately, I formed the opinion Logan was deceased.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, I guess now because I heard the 911 call, I'm like, okay, the road behind the house was concrete. The 911, the 999 operator said, you know, you don't live behind a field or anything like that. So, like, mm-hmm. where in proximity was this body of water?
He was found 250 yards from the house.
So 2.5 football fields.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's still walking distance, but
yeah. 100%. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So like I just said, Logan was found only 250 yards from his home, wearing a black Spider-Man pajama top and multicolored dinosaur pajama bottoms. Paramedic Mark Howells treated Logan on the scene. He stated the following about his appearance. His skin was pale and mottled. He was very blue in color and had a bruise above his left eye, probably the length of his eyebrow. Logan's body temperature was 20.1 degrees. Now, I'm not sure if that was Celsius or Fahrenheit, but regardless, that is entirely too cold for anyone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mark also added the following. Based on the information from his mother and his body temperature, there was an assumption he could have been there for some hours. Logan was transported to the Princess of Wales Hospital in Bridgend and unfortunately was pronounced dead at 7:15 a.m.
But they kind of already knew he was
100%, deceased. But you know they have you to have still to, yeah. pronounce them, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I want to backtrack and give you all some information about Logan because he deserves to be talked about and he was entirely too young to be taken from this world. Logan was born on March 15th, 2016 at the Princess of Wales Hospital in Bridgend, Wales, to his parents, Angharad Williamson and Benjamin Wanky. The two ended their relationship shortly after Logan was born, and Benjamin went back to live in Brentwood, Essex. He visited Logan back in Bridgend for his first Father's Day as a first-time dad. During that visit, Angharad and Benjamin decided that she and Logan would move to Brentwood so Benjamin could be closer to his son. However, Angharad and Logan only stayed in Brentwood for 2 months before returning to Wales. From that point forward, Angharad prevented Benjamin from seeing Logan. Benjamin described Logan as being the cutest little boy and an intelligent little boy. The last time he would see his son alive was in 2019 when Angharad brought Logan to visit him. Logan had a very close relationship with his grandmother, Claire Williamson. She, in her own words, described him as being the apple of her eye.
That's so sweet. So the mom, biological parents, they're no longer together.
No.
But the mom was obviously at one point preventing Logan from seeing his biological dad.
Yes.
But
there's no reasoning behind that. It just seems it's just like something that she chose. From all accounts, nothing is wrong with Benjamin. He never harmed him. He wasn't a bad dad. Okay. So it's kind of just like her like, no, you can't see him.
Okay.
She went on to state the following. Logan loved Angharad to pieces. He was a very bright child and a joy to be around. He was thirsty to learn, and we spent a lot of time playing with him and stimulating him. The two loved to have sleepovers at her home. Unfortunately, when 40-year-old John Cole, Angharad's partner, came into their lives, Claire didn't get to see her grandson as much, and eventually contact between them ceased entirely.
What a weird coincidence.
Logan's teacher at Tondu Primary School, Catherine Richards, stated the following about Logan. Logan was a loving, kind little boy. He loved school, loved being in the indoor classroom, and would light up the classroom with his smile. He was very bright. He loved the money kitchen and his numbers. He was engrossed in everything, inquisitive, and loved learning. He was a polite little boy. And when you guys see the picture of Logan, he is the most adorable little boy. Like, they weren't lying about his smile. His smile was just so bright, and you could just, like, feel it through looking at a picture of him.
Yeah, I saw it on the 911 call video. He's so precious.
He's so cute. So, like I said, Logan was the most adorable little boy, which makes what I'm about to get into that much worse. Upon taking a closer look at Logan, his injuries were intensive. One source reports that his injuries were so bad that they were consistent with a fall from a great height or a high-velocity road traffic collision.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Mind you, he's 5.
Wow.
And tiny.
Knowing so you didn't get in a car wreck, but your injuries are that bad that they mimic getting in a high-velocity car accident.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. One source stated the following about his injuries. There were extensive injuries to the abdomen, including a lacerated liver, a tear to the bowel, and a degloving injury to the duodenum, which is a part of the small intestines. Hmm. The pathologist also found 300 milliliters of dark liquid blood in the abdomen cavity. He also suffered extensive bruising to the scalp and back of his head, and his brain had suffered significant trauma. There was hemorrhaging to the right side of the head and inside the skull. Neurologist Dr. George Lamy said he believed that there was evidence of more than one brain injury and possibly more than one episode of trauma. Logan has also sustained 56 bruises, cuts, and abrasions to his body, including a visible cut to his forehead. The injuries were believed to be consistent with blunt force trauma and a forceful assault. There was no evidence that suggested Logan had drowned, and it was established he had died before entering the river.
That's a lot of injuries.
Again,
to a very small body.
Small and teeny tiny body.
That's just like a lot.
Like, why?
I'm hoping you're going to tell us.
Oh, I mean.
But no, there's no why to support this. I just want to make that very clear. There is no why to support this. A 5-year-old never deserves anything like this whatsoever. But, oh my gosh, the list kept going.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It was crazy. I was reading like 56 bruises and cuts to his body.
It's ridiculous.
And then more than one possible brain injury, bro. Like,
that's some hatred. Somebody, like.
The cause of Logan's death was determined to be blunt force abdominal injury and cerebral injury, including brain swelling, hypoxic ischemic neuronal injury, and traumatic brain injury. Hypoxic ischemic neuronal injury is when oxygen and blood supply to the brain is limited, which causes brain cells to die very quickly. So I feel like.
Also, Ashley's doing a great job with these pronunciations, guys.
I'm trying so hard.
Yeah.
If it sounds a little weird, you know, once you listen to this, I tried my best. I have the pronunciations written here, but those words are very foreign.
Yeah, we're not doctors. Okay?
I'm not. I'm an educator and not of the doctor things.
So kind of like, I guess what I took from it is it sounds like a little bit of like internal bleeding too.
Yes, because they found that 300 milliliters of that dark liquid blood in his abdomen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just to remind you again, Logan was only 5 years old. Who could possibly inflict this kind of damage to a five-year-old and why? Well, hold on to your butts, estudiantes, because it's about to go down. Because on August 1st, 2021, Ang Harrod Williamson, John Cole, and 13-year-old Craig Mulligan were arrested at around 6:20 p.m. on suspicion of the murder of Logan Wenge.
No, they were not.
Yes, you heard that correctly. Two adults and a child were arrested.
The mother that was on the 911 call?
Yes, I had to hold it together when you were like, oh my gosh, she sounds so panicked, child. Sure was.
She needs a Grammy Award for that.
Sure was. Sure was.
Like, that shattered me.
Yep. Yep.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to be honest, I had the stepdad pegged. I had him pegged from the get-go.
But her?
Definitely didn't have the sibling.
Yeah, man. And this is why it's a first on Teachers Talk Crime. Because I know you guys are like, okay, like the stepdad, he's a little bit out of our age range. But 14-year-old Craig Mulligan, bam. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
Craig Mulligan's got a different last name. Not that you can not have two baby daddies. You can have as many baby daddies as you want to have.
And I sure will get into
where he's come from. I am shooketh.
Mm-hmm. Now, before I get into what actually happened, let me give you some background information on these three scumbags, because that is what they are. We'll start with Ang Harrod. Ang Harrod Williamson was born on March 16, 1991 in Essex. According to one source, she attended a private primary school education. And for those who don't know, primary school in the UK is equivalent to kindergarten to sixth grade in the United States.
Okay.
From there, she received a public school education until she was about 16 years old. Ang Harrod had her first run-in with the law in 2014 when she was convicted of two charges of theft when she misused her mother's bank card, and then she was arrested for taking her mom's car. However, no further charges were brought upon her. She moved to Wales to live with her mother in 2015 after she found out that she was pregnant with Logan. Like I said earlier, Logan's father, Benjamin, lived in Essex, and the two split shortly after Logan was born. In 2017, Ang Harrod not only met, but also married Jordan Hunt. The marriage ended as quickly as it began when Jordan was arrested for attacking her.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. She falls in love quick.
Girl. Ang Harrod was described by many as being melodramatic, over-emotional, and excessively friendly. One source stated that she was also described as being a needy person that liked being the center of attention.
So I see.
Yeah, I mean, child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got a baby daddy, and then you're married, and before it can even have the ink dry on the paper, y'all already done.
Yep.
Wow.
Ang Harrod met John Cole in 2019 at the Railway Inn pub in Bridgend, and apparently the two did the do the first night they met each other.
All right. Okay.
I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that. Nobody's judging you, sis. You know, have your fun.
Yeah.
After that, the two quickly began a relationship with one another that Ang Harrod described as being perfect. An exact quote from her states the following: I desperately wanted a little fairy tale family. Now, that statement alone makes me wonder, like, was it really perfect, or was he just giving you attention, and because you wanted this fairy tale family, you just clung to him? You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Next, we have John Cole. John was born on February 4th, 1982 in Rugby in Warwickshire. He was a former member of the National Front, and after a quick Google search, the National Front is a small political party of the right with racism and extremist policies. Yikes on tax on bikes.
Wait, so he's like a white supremacist for the UK?
100%.
Oh, well. And didn't she say her baby was a mixed race baby?
Yes, ma'am.
The pieces are fitting together.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't like this.
I like that you picked out on that. I like, yeah.
I don't like this.
You're listening. I like that. I don't like this, but I like that
I also, I picked up on that on the 911 call. I was like, how she said it was weird to me. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I'm not from the UK and they, you know, they speak different. So I was like, maybe that's 100%. Just normal. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Apparently, John was very racist. A direct quote from one of his friends stated the following. John was very racist to Asian or black people or any people who are different. Just like Brooke said, Logan was an interracial child.
Mm.
So, like, what's going on?
Like,
what's happening?
I just... I know that the camera's not on me and Ashley didn't see it, but like just at the second of that, like just my eyes rolled so hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, I fixed it so I could see you in the script today. So oh. I saw it. I saw a girl.
I'm just. Yeah. That John, little bit. I just can't. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Like that baby didn't ask to be in this world.
Sure didn't.
You did that.
Sure
did that.
Sure did.
So okay.
Mm-hmm. John questioned Ang Harrod about her relationship with Logan's father, Benjamin, probably because he was a racist.
And Benjamin was black.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yet, Ang Harrod accused John of cheating on her with a man. Now, off the bat, I'm already confused. Like I said a little bit ago, how did Ang Harrod describe this relationship as what?
Fairy tale. Perfect.
As perfect. So how is dating a racist who you accuse of cheating on you perfect? I'm just confused.
Cheating on you with a man. So you're accusing your boyfriend of being bisexual or either gay.
Mm-hmm.
Who's also a racist?
But here's the thing. It's completely fine. If that's how you're rocking out, if that's what you like to do.
No, that's fine. Make it make sense.
But just calling it perfect when clearly it's anything but perfect, I'm starting to lean towards the fact that she just like, this man clung to her.
She was delusional.
Uh-huh. She was real delulu. Yeah, 100%.
She was living in this like fantasy world of let's ignore the red flags. Maybe they'll turn green.
Oh my God, he loves me.
Yes.
Like, oh, he's paying attention to me. He loves me. Like, that's what I got from this relationship. John had quite a number of run-ins with the law. In September of 2002, he was convicted of assault. In April of 2003, he was convicted of assault occasioning bodily harm, which just essentially means he intentionally assaulted someone and caused bodily harm to them.
Mm.
In October 2004, he was convicted of battery. In March of 2005, he was convicted of resisting or obstructing a constable. In April of 2006, he was convicted for the possession of weed. In September of 2007, he was convicted of intimidation of a witness, battery, blackmail, and preventing the course of justice. According to one source, he was also convicted of the following: burglary, theft, handling stolen goods, going equipped for theft, taking a conveyance, possession of a bladed article, criminal damage, possession of cannabis, and resisting a police officer. So again, perfect where?
We obviously have different definitions of perfect. Also, did you notice the dates? Because I did. They were back to back to back. He didn't even have one good year. Not even one good year.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yep. And I don't know when the other ones were. There's no date. But that was just the list of things that he was doing.
But, like, you couldn't even sit for one second and be like, you know, this year, when the ball drops on New Year's, I'm going to have a better year. You got convicted of something every single year.
I feel like that was his New Year's resolution to get locked up or get convicted of something else. Because, child, like, what?
Exactly.
You're doing the most here, sir. The most.
And most of those were violent charges.
Yes. Like, why are you so violent? What's wrong with you? John was in a relationship with a woman named Rebecca Trudgill prior to beginning his relationship with Angharad. They were together for more than 10 years, and he helped raise her son, Craig Mulligan, from when he was 9 months old. John considered Craig to be his son, so when Craig reached out to him about wanting to live with him, he moved Craig into the home he shared with Angharad and Logan just 5 days prior to Logan's murder.
Oh, she said it was her son on the 911 call.
I think she considered him her son because even some of the videos that I watched of his, like, confession, he called her mom.
That's so weird. That is very strange.
It's also very bizarre.
Not even your dad. Like, I'm sorry. I dated your mom for a little while. Yeah, I was around, but, like, we're not together no more. You got to stay with your mom, you know?
I mean, but like, he was all he knew. You know what I mean?
I get it. Like, I get that. But also, why would the mom let this kid go live with somebody that, some, you know, that's not their dad?
I got you.
I don't know. Is this a weird situation? I just thought it was her other kid. I thought she was the one that had two babies. Okay. So John Cole brought in the Mulligan kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And at first, like, all the research was saying, like, her son. And I'm like, is this really her son? So I researched for like 20 minutes just trying to figure out like how he was related or how he was fitting into this puzzle piece.
Okay. So he is not a part of her puzzle piece.
No.
He came with John Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And finally, we have Craig Mulligan. Craig Mulligan was born on October 2nd, 2007 in Coventry to his mother, Rebecca Trudgill. His father, who was unnamed, was never a part of his life. Craig was put into foster care in the beginning of 2021 because his mother assaulted him and was sectioned under the Mental Health Act. The Mental Health Act is a law that basically tells people that have a mental health disorder what their rights are and how they can be treated. Being sectioned under the Mental Health Act means that you have to stay in a hospital either for an assessment or treatment for your mental health disorder. And I'm also not sure what mental health disorder she had.
Okay. So according to this, she assaulted her son.
Yes.
So they took him. So basically our version of CPS took him.
Mm-hmm.
And they put her in a mental hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, boop, ba, boop. What's up, John Cole? Can I come
not
live
quite.
With you?
Okay. Not quite.
Okay. All right.
Not quite. Craig earned his green belt in Muay Thai. And I've never heard of this before in my life, so clearly I looked it up. So Muay Thai, which is also considered Thai boxing, is a combat sport that uses stand-up striking, such as forceful kicking and punching.
I already know where you're going with this, and I don't like it.
So basically, Muay Thai is pretty violent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Craig was described as being a complex, troubled, and violent boy. He was very manipulative and often used a baby voice when he got in trouble.
That's sick. I hate when people do that.
Here's the thing. My child does that, and I can't stand it.
But she's also, like, she's still so young. This kid is 14 years old.
Yeah, but you know my girl know better. She know get under my skin. But I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. Like, you're a grown boy.
Yeah.
You're a grown boy. What are you doing? A teacher at Craig's school recounts an incident where Craig was attacking another student for no reason at all. The teacher stated that Craig was jumping on another student and pulling him to the ground by putting his arm around his throat, which is something I'm assuming he learned from Muay Thai.
Great. I love that. And you know, all of these like forms of like jiu-jitsu or whatever you call it.
Jiu-jitsu, yep.
Fun karate, fact. Muay Thai, all of this stuff. The reason it was created was for like a sense of balance and 100%. Strength and learning how to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. And it was a combat sport. It is not meant to injure and hurt other people without 100%. Rhyme or reason.
100%. Because I was thinking about putting the girls, you know, in something like that just for protection purposes, you know what I mean? Just in the event that someone is messing with you and puts their hands. Like, here's the thing. I'm a firm believer, you know, if they're not putting your hands on you, don't put their hands on them. But if you're, you know, speaking your claim, letting them know I do not like what you're doing, and they put their hands on you, it's
you can
free
defend
game
yourself.
100%. Like, yeah. And I just want to make sure my kids are good. 100%.
Yeah.
Be mad at me if you want. You know, that's my opinion and I'm sticking to it.
You can parent how you want to parent. That's up to you. But like, what I'm saying is, like, the teacher saying that he attacked this kid for no reason. That's 100%. Not what these sports were created for. That's not what these were designed to do.
Yeah.
You have clearly have anger issues. You should have never learned this sport because you don't have your ish under control.
Yeah, and a green belt is pretty, I would think it's pretty high up because you have a white belt.
Uh-huh.
And I think you go to a yellow. I'm not sure if green or orange is next. But then I'm not sure if Muay Thai does this, but I know certain ones, like you get like a yellow belt. Then you get a yellow belt with like a black stripe. Then you get like, you know what I mean? So I'm not sure the levels to this, but green, right, I think is pretty, you know.
Pretty on up there.
Yeah.
It's definitely not
like,
beginner.
Yeah, because I feel like it starts with like lighter colors and it gets progressively darker until you get to clearly a black belt. So, you know, he's up there in the colors. When the teacher asked why he had done what he did, Craig told him that he was dared to do it by another boy.
Oh, okay. That makes so much sense.
I mean, when I go into the rest of this, I feel like that is false.
Oh, yeah. And well, you just said he was manipulative.
Oh, 100%. A neighbor stated that they once observed Craig pulling a little girl's feet from under her, which caused her to hurt her face. Another incident occurred where Craig was punching another child over and over again in the stomach. Apparently, when he was asked to stop, he said, "No, he's an asshole."
I think you're the asshole.
That's literally my next sentence.
So, goodbye, sir.
So it's very clear that Craig was known for causing trouble, and this is only the tip of the iceberg. Like I stated a little bit ago, Craig was put into foster care after his mother had assaulted him and she was sectioned under the Mental Health Act. Well, Craig was placed with a foster family for 8 weeks in June and July of 2021. However, they were absolutely terrified of him and his behavior, which is why he was permitted to go live with his stepdad, John Cole.
Well, no foster family wanted him.
Yeah. And I'm going to get, and like you would think like, oh, maybe they're just not ready. This family was very well versed in the foster care.
This wasn't their first rodeo.
100%. It wasn't their fifth rodeo. In fact, they had fostered about 80 children over the course of 50 years. And Craig was the first child they ever had to ask to be removed from their care, which obviously means something.
That means he's the problem.
100%.
That's clearly an indicator.
On the first night of his stay with the family, Craig showed their daughter a vape and a knife. The family regularly located knives underneath his pillow during his stay with them.
And you gotta go. And you gotta get out. You gotta go.
They really did try with Craig, but he continuously proved himself to be uncontrollable, having a desire for violence and pure evil, which are words that his foster family used to describe him. According to one source, they once went to the park and Craig was heard saying, "Shall we play murder and I will put you all in a black bag?"
What?
This
kid was, oh my God.
Girl, I'm not even into the thick of it.
Holy crap. Who plays that?
I don't ever want to play that game.
That's not even a game.
It's not even fun.
Not
an enjoyable experience. The same source stated that on a separate occasion, they all went to watch In the Heights at the movies, and Craig shouted, "Kill all the Jews," at the top of his lungs in the middle of the movie.
What the hell?
And who do you think he's learning this from?
Oh, John Cole.
100%.
Yeah. You were raised by a racist. What do you think you're going to be?
Absolutely.
A racist.
If it walks like a duck.
It talks like a duck.
And birds of a feather. What do they do?
Exactly.
They flock together. Sure do.
Oh my God. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Girl, I'm not even, girl. On another occasion, Craig grabbed the family's dog by its back legs and sprayed deodorant in its eyes. Mind you, this dog had just had surgery.
This is the first sign of a serial
killer. I believe it was pelvic surgery. So, like, you know, you're pulling it by their back legs and spraying deodorant in its eyes. For what reason, bro?
None. That's the first sign of a serial killer. And, oh, 100%. You know, had this not gone down, this mulligan kid was going to eventually do something one day.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Oh, most definitely. On another occasion, he convinced his foster mom to buy him a metal bat. She figured it was because he had an interest in baseball and wanted to play. Unfortunately, she was incorrect. Craig immediately took the bat to the park and began smashing it up. I'm not sure if smashing it up meant he was using the bat to smash things up or was literally just smashing the bat on things.
I would take it as he was smashing things with the bat.
Because you know how sometimes like things are worded differently in the UK?
Right.
Like, so I'm not sure if he was just like smashing, you know what I mean? So,
regardless, he's taking a bat that he has no intention of use for sports and he's taking it to the park and just hitting things.
Yep. His foster sister observed him cutting up an inflatable pool with a knife once.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. He also once told his foster mother that when the new Purge movie came out, he was going to kill her, her husband, their daughter, and their dog. This immediately alarmed and frightened the foster mom, so she did as anyone would do and reported it to Craig's social worker, Debbie Williams. Unfortunately, this concern fell on deaf ears and was brushed off with no follow-up or anything.
He threatened to kill all of them.
I know, that's right.
And it was just like, oh, I have more paperwork to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you. Please get out of my house and my home.
Mm-hmm. Immediately.
Yeah.
The week prior to Logan's death, Craig told his foster sister the following. I want to kill the five-year-old. He was referring to Logan and never addressed him by his name. He just always, like, whenever he was talking about Logan, it was the five-year-old. Never Logan.
He has a name, and I would rather say his name a million times than ever say yours ever again.
I know that is correct.
I'm not even calling you by your first name because who cares?
I agree. He made a number of threats stating how much he hated Logan and that he wanted him dead. Craig's foster family tried to warn Debbie about the threats that he was making towards Logan, but unfortunately, those were brushed off as well.
What is Debbie doing?
Yeah, she's trash, honestly. And
what, Debbie, what are you doing?
She's trash. And we'll get more into Debbie in part two.
Okay, well, Debbie, you need to go away. Yeah. Also, what did Logan do to this kid? Like, I think, you know,
he
what
just
I mean?
Existed, honestly.
Exactly. That's what it sounds like. Like, is there, was he stealing your spotlight? I'm just confused what he could have done.
You know, and what's crazy is when I was researching this case, there was a video of him and Logan like dancing together, like doing a TikTok dance. I can't remember exactly which one it was. And they looked like they were having fun. So I'm just confused. And this was like maybe, I don't remember the date exactly. I feel like it was like maybe a month before his murder. So I feel like he was still visiting with John, but like lived in with the foster family. But like you guys were interacting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I just, I just don't understand.
Exactly.
His foster father feared for the safety of his family with Craig being around, which is why they begged for social services to remove him from their household.
I mean, they're validated. Mm-hmm. And also, is that, I don't even know how that works. I don't even know how that works in the U.S. Like, does someone have to come remove you, or can you just like be like, drop them back off and be like, here you go?
You know, I think it's a process. I don't think you could, because he was just a foster, and I think they were supposed to have him, I think, for only
until she got out of the hospital, right?
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be 2 months. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. His foster mother would later tell police that Craig asked her to meet him by herself by a river, and she refused to go because she was terrified. Rightfully so.
Exactly.
Rightfully so.
No, thank you. Nope. No, thank you. We will be in public at all times together.
Child, I'm not taking you nowhere, because clearly when I take you in public, you act crazy. You're talking about putting people in bags and yelling, kill all the Jews. Like, what are you?
True. True.
You don't stay in the house.
Not my house.
Not mine. On his last day with the family before going to live with his stepfather, his foster mother recalled him turning into a monster and she had to leave the home. I'm not sure what that means.
He probably, but she was like just was raging.
Yeah. That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Debbie, his social worker, said that Craig would curse at her all the time. She went on to state that he would tell her to F off. According to one source, she described it as being more of a banter thing, but said that he would sometimes take it too far. I'm sorry, telling me to F off
is not banter.
And cursing at me is not a banter thing. No,
we are not bantering.
That's not.
First of all, for you to have banter, the other person has to know that they're participating in banter.
Yeah.
I'm not participating in you to tell me to F off.
Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely not.
She also said that he once called her a see you next Tuesday.
And I'm going to need you to.
Yeah. He clearly said the actual word, but I wasn't going to say it. So, you know, you guys are smart. You can figure that out.
Mm-hmm. No. I don't like this kid. I don't like this kid at all.
I don't like anyone involved. You know what I'm saying? Like, I.
Yeah.
I definitely
don't like John Cole. Yeah. Don't like this kid. Don't like the mom.
Mm-hmm.
I like Logan.
I wish that Logan would have lived. It seemed like he had a great relationship with his grandma. I wish he would have just lived with her.
Or his dad. I mean, his dad wanted to see him.
100%. 100%. Like, anyone but her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So everyone is pretty much having issues with Craig. Everyone except for his stepfather, John.
I wonder why.
Craig idolized his stepfather. One source went as far to state that he would do anything for him. Before he was placed with a foster family, Craig was in a care home, and the staff there recalled him shaving his head so he could look like John.
Ugh, sickening.
Craig was also very aware that Logan was John's stepson also, but failed to include Logan on the gift that he purchased for John for Father's Day. He gave him a dog tag that had a picture of himself on it, and it was engraved with the following message. To Dad, Happy Father's Day. Love, Craig.
He's not your dad.
And what about Logan?
Yeah.
You know?
Logan probably didn't like that man anyways. Like, I mean, imagine how he treated him in the home. I'm sure he ignored him because he didn't agree with the color of his skin. And I'm sure he made some snide remarks, and Logan's only 5 and didn't realize like what was actually taking place. But I mean, Logan probably didn't like you no ways.
I know, that's right. Because kids always know. But he seemed like a very, like,
yes,
you know, forgiving and loving kid.
Exactly.
So I feel like even if John was treating him like crap, like, he would still respect him. You know what I mean?
Well, and it seemed like he did love his mom. And if his mom is dating.
Allowing this man.
Uh-huh, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And that is part numero uno of the Craig Mulligan case.
Oh, my gosh.
So the next time we come back for part 2, I will give you more information on what was occurring in the home prior to Logan's death, what actually happened to Logan on the day that he was murdered by these 3 horrible people, and how social services failed him.
And where these horrible people are now.
Yes, that as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that left me with many questions. Very, very, very many questions.
Yeah.
Try not to go get on TikTok.
Yeah.
Or Google. Wait till next week.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't even TikTok searched this case. So I might do it just to see what I find.
Yeah.
But yeah. So we won't be back next Monday. I don't know why I said Wednesday, because it's Wednesday today. So we won't be back next Monday with the case, but the following Monday, you'll get part 2 of the Craig Mulligan case. Until then, as per usual, the bell don't dismiss you.
We do.
So we will see y'all next Monday.
Bye.
Bye.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.